during this season, we're keeping the angel Gabriel really busy. He's already gone and talked to Zechariah in the temple, talking about how his wife and he, who are barren, are going to have a child. That's Elizabeth, and they're going to, and that's going to be John the Baptist, and he's going to lead the way for the one who is to come. Now we've got Gabriel going to Mary to the Annunciation to tell her that she's going to have a child in a miraculous way. And tonight we'll hear how he actually proclaims to the shepherds the same, the arrival of that child. So Gabriel is all over the place. And here's Mary. And it seems to me the first thing that happens here is that when the angel shows up, fear arises. This is like really big deal. And poor Mary, who's there, and she's probably, listen, she's probably like 13 or 14 years old. That's how old people would get engaged in that time. Can you imagine? And here's this angel telling her this stuff about how she's going to have a child, and the child's going to be the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, all of that stuff. These words are really charged, okay? The Son of the Most High is really the... It's not just that this child is going to be a son in a familial way, like a relationship between son and father. It's more that this child, the Son of the Most High, is going to be the one who is like the high priest in the temple on the Day of Atonement, who is called the Son of the Most High. And he goes into the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest can go, and only once a year. It's so holy that they actually tie a rope around his ankle in case the high priest dies in there. You can't go in. If he died in there, you'd have to pull him out. That's how this place is like. This is how holy this is. Only once a year. And when he comes, he goes in and he dons this robe and he puts on his wrists and on his forehead the name that is so holy it isn't spoken among Jews. The name of God. And when he comes out of the temple to proclaim the atonement, the reconciliation with the world between God and Israel, he isn't just coming out as the priest. He is coming out as the manifestation of God. For that one day, it is God who stands there and proclaims atonement and enacts atonement for the people for the year. And he goes back into the temple, takes off the guards, and then he's the high priest. Mary knows this, and when she hears that her son is going to be the Son of the Most High, this is what she's thinking. How in the world can this be? And the answer to it is that the temple had been the place where God dwelled. It had been the place from out of which comes God. It's going to happen again. But now, the storyteller Luke tells us, it's Mary who's going to be the Holy of Holies. It is her womb that is the Holy of Holies, from which will come the Son of the Most High. It's no wonder that Mary is at it. There's so much adoration of Mary. What a thing that she would be the temple, the new temple. And we have, in fact, had centuries of adoration of Mary, and it's beautiful adoration. It's lovely. It's wonderful. And it's a little bit seductive. And Jesus will tell us why. Because as much as we make of Mary in that, it's the same way we did with the temple. This is the temple of God, right? And nothing can happen to the temple of God, which ends up being destroyed twice. In the same way, we can put that kind of thing on Mary where, oh, she's just so wonderful, so perfect, so this, so that. Jesus will say, well, First of all, he says when Mary and his brothers, Jesus' brothers, come to get him when he's first preaching, and he's saying all this crazy stuff about God, and people think he's crazy, and they call his parents. And they say, come get him. And he comes, and they say, your mother and your brothers are at the door. And he says, who is my mother and my brother? Whoever hears the word of God and does it is my mother and brother and sister. Well, a big check for Mary, right? She heard the word of God and did it. But it's that which makes her blessed, right? Not just the fact that she bore Jesus. And, of course, you all know how this is, don't you? You know how moms and dads can be, right? Where they want to live vicariously through their kids, right? Or get their status through their kids. You know my son, the surgeon. Yeah. My daughter, the lawyer, the high-powered lawyer, right? Right? And Jesus is like, it's not that. And he says it explicitly. When he's walking by and somebody says, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you. And he turns and says, blessed rather is the one who hears the word of God and does it. So Mary isn't blessed because of the son that came from her. She's blessed because she heard the word and obeyed it and gave herself over to it. It's a little bit like, what it struck me as was that, when my dad died, we went to the funeral parlor, and the funeral director there was trying to talk us into getting a limousine for my mom, right, to go from the church to the cemetery. And he said, well, yeah, I think that a limousine would be a lovely thing for you to do for your mother. And we were like, well, how many people? There's eight of us, so we can't all fit in a limousine. Who's going to sit in the limousine? You know, it was just kind of, logistically, it didn't make a lot of sense. And he just kept pushing and pushing, and finally he said, I think you should honor your mother with a limousine. And then it became very clear. And I said, you know what? We will honor our mother in many ways, but a limousine isn't one of them. We'll figure it out. You just keep your limousine. And he was like, oh, okay. So, that's not the way we are going to honor my mother, right? And it's not really the way it's not going to be the way we honor Mary. It's just because she's the one who bore Jesus. Jesus is saying, no, don't honor her for that. Honor her because she heard the word of God and did it. That's why we honor her. Right? And I just love that. And insofar as all of us are, Jesus says, whoever hears the word of God and does it is my mother and my brother, is blessed in that way. And insofar as that's true, every time we hear the word of God and do it, we too are blessed. And this is not like, we're not being called to do this big, well, we might be, who knows, this big thing, you know, bearing the one who is the Christ. But there's all kinds of ways in which we simply are called to do something. And do we do it? Very simple things. One of my favorite things that came to mind is when I was in college, somewhere between my sophomore and junior year, I was hitchhiking across the country. And my mom and my dad were just totally aghast. You know, what are you doing? And I was getting out onto Highway 50. I walked to Highway 50. It was my first ride. I stick out my thumb, and the first car that comes by picks me up, and it's this Irish priest just off the boat. I mean, literally, he had just gotten assigned to my hometown, to the Catholic Church in my hometown. And he had this beautiful Irish brogue, which I cannot duplicate. But he says, "Where are you going, laddie?" And I said, "Well, this is, you're my first ride on a trip I'm going across country. I'm going to hitchhike to California and come back." And he goes, he's like, "This is really, you're doing that? Oh, I wish I could go with you." And I said, "Well, yeah, I just can't." But he said, "This is something. You have to tell me the name of your mother and your father. I drove by, I saw you, and the Lord said to me, pick this young man up." And he said, "What's going on with your mom and dad?" I said, "Well, my mom and dad are really scared that I'm doing this. And they're really scared. And I just had a hard time leaving them because they didn't want me to leave." And he said, "Oh, what's their phone number?" I gave him their phone number. He said, "I'll call them. I'm going to let them know that God said it's going to be all right. He told me, and that's the truth. I'm going to tell them just what we, this conversation." And he did. And my parents were like, "Oh, okay." And they let it go. Blessed is the one who hears the word of God and does it. Simple, right? Not big, big things, but God's doing all this stuff. God is talking to us constantly saying, "Oh, how about this? Do this. Maybe this would be a really nice thing." Huh? So, one of my favorite stories that Kathy Schultz tells is one day she's at the refrigerator and she just about gets weak in the knees and just about falls down in her kitchen. Her husband, Bill, and her father-in-law, Job, were out hunting. They were on horseback, and they were hunting, I don't know what they were hunting, moose, some big game, I don't know what they were doing. But they were on a horseback, and it was 2 in the afternoon, and she just, like, buckled. She just, and God said, "Pray for Job. Pray for your father-in-law." And she's like, "What? Pray for your father-in-law." Okay, she does. But she also said, "What about my husband? Shouldn't I pray for my husband? He's out there too. Pray for your father-in-law." So, she does. Right? She obeys. When they come back a couple days later, she finds that at that exact time that she was told to pray for her father-in-law, Joe's horse had fallen into a ravine, Joe on it. And into the ravine they went. Well, the horse and the father-in-law escaped unscathed. But she got that message. Pray for your father. And she was obedient to do it. And blessed is the one who hears the word of God and does it. And so here we are. And God is really... There's so many times. Don't you all get like this kind of sense of something like, "Oh, you know, I should do that. I need to call. I should call this person." And maybe sometimes you pick up the phone and you do it, and it's like, "Oh, I'm so glad you called. This is what's going on." Da, 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 da. Is that right? Yeah, it's happened, right? It's happened to you all. Okay. And there are times when you get that same thing. "Oh, pick up the phone, call somebody." And you, "Oh, no, I don't have time for that. I can't." And then later you find, "I should have." And it's okay. God's got all kinds of opportunities for us to do this. The point is this. God is constantly speaking the word to us in Jesus. And the more that we kind of begin to hear that voice, and the more that we begin to reject some of the voices of the of our culture that are telling us all kinds of other things, right? This is where we will be find blessing. This is where we are going to be. Oh yeah. Rather, the one who hears the word of God and does it, that's who's blessed. And it is. It's a, it is a delight. It
So, insofar as we are hearing the word and doing it, we are bearing Christ into this world. And Lord have mercy. Doesn't this world need Christ and Christ's Spirit and people who are there to bear witness to? This is what we are called to. This is what we are blessed to do. And so, you who are mothers and sisters of God, fathers, brothers of God, God is in you. God is visiting us. When we hear this word, when we feel this word, do this word. And when you don't, remember the other word that God says is the reason that Jesus comes out into the world in the first place is to forgive. Never, never, never feel guilt about, oh, I should have done this, oh, I'm lousy, I'm this, I'm lousy, that. No. Just say, okay, let me hear another one. Give me another one. Because that's what Jesus is doing. He's giving us yet another one. Hold on to it and continue to seek that word. And let go when you don't hear it right, when you don't do it. And we are blessed.